being able to be super outgoing, kind of form those relationships was probably the best part about, you know, being a goalie. And, you know, I was lucky enough. I played there for 5 years and I, you know, fully played for 5 years. And I think that those relationships that I made playing, you know, were amazing.
Welcome to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. Every week we'll be talking shop with lacrosse goalies, coaches, and special guests. This is the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. Now your host, Coach Damon Wilson.
Ladies and gentlemen, goalies from around the world, welcome to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Damon, and this is the podcast 100% dedicated to the lacrosse goalie. On this show, it is my job to track down the best college goalies, not just college goalies, the best goalies in our sport, interview them, find out what makes them so great. How do they think about this position? What are some of the mindsets that they have? What are even the drills that they do and the workouts that they do that we can steal and incorporate into our own game? My guest this week is an awesome one. It is recent Syracuse women's goalie grad, Aisha Goldstock. Aisha joins the show to talk about her progression in the cage, growing up in New York, all the way to landing at Syracuse, and now just recently signing a job or getting a job with USC. She's an amazing goalie. I love the way she plays. I love her swagger. And it's just totally an open book when it comes to her life and lacrosse goalie. So ladies and gentlemen, please enjoy this episode with Aisha Goldstock. Before we begin this episode, I want to read a word from our sponsor, and that is my own Lacrosse Goalie Summit. We just concluded in December of 2021 the Lacrosse Goalie Summit 5, where 17 of the best coaches, best goalie minds in our sport came together to give amazing presentations on different aspects of the position. If you are listening to this right now, and you want to become a better goalie for your 2022 season, here's what you should do. Go to goaliesummit.com and you can still get access to all 17 of those videos. You can even get access to all of the videos from the first 4 lacrosse goalie summits. That's over 80 hours of training on all the different topics that you need to make your game better, to become a better goalie, better leader, someone your teammates can trust, have more confidence in the net. That's what these goalie summits are all about. So go check them out, www.goaliesummit.com, and I guarantee you'll become a better lacrosse goalie. Now, let's enjoy the episode. Awesome. Well, it's a pleasure to welcome to the show Aisha Goldstock, career leader at Syracuse in saves. Aisha, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I always like to ask, do you remember the very first time you stepped into goal and made a save? You remember that story?
I actually do. I was playing rec league. I grew up in Niskayuna, New York, and I was playing rec league and they needed a goalie. And I think they kind of were rotating kids, but they put me in practice, and it was fun because I couldn't cradle well with a girl stick. So it kind of was easy for me. So I kind of stayed with it after that. But I think I was in third grade. So a while back now.
Yeah. Right. Just a few days ago.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So a lot of times young goalies, you know, when you first jump in, like you're scared of the ball, right? Mm-hmm. Is that something you dealt with as a third grader?
Honestly, I might've, I was more so focused on, you can see the transition in my game when I was playing in college, but, the ability to be comfortable outside of the cage, which mm-hmm. was fun. And I think that I had more stick skills because I was used to playing with a men's stick. I played boys a little bit when I was younger. And so kind of going into goalie with the goalie stick was easy for me to play outside the cage. So I think that more than anything, I was just having fun with it. I don't really remember the shots and stuff, but really couldn't have been that hard in third grade anyway.
Yeah. Well, still, you know, you got some sort of rubber projectile coming at you. A lot of goalies feel this innate, like, the fear. I felt that when I was learning how to play. So, and then, you know, from that point, like that third grade point, like how'd you go about, you know, learning how to make saves? I imagine in upstate New York, it's pretty popular, the sport. Were there coaches around, like camps? How did you go about kind of learning this position?
Yeah. I played a lot with like a lot of the guys and my cousin played, and I was really close with Kale and Alyssa Trainer when I was younger, and ended up kind of living with them on and off through my high school and then into college. I think I had Leslie Delano. She coaches at RPI. She gave me some goalie training when I was a kid. But it wasn't bad. I think that everyone, like what you do in the off time when you're young and Niskiuna, was go and shoot and play lacrosse. So, and everyone's always looking for a goalie. So, there's always opportunity for me to shoot and be in goal and have like great shooters shooting on me. So that was nice. But I think, looking back on it now, it was just like a normal thing, but I guess I did train as like a young kid, a lot, which was awesome. But,
right. Like you got a lot of shots, a lot of experience.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
And probably pretty good level too. I remember I was coaching a team in Berkeley, a youth team. And like one of the parents said, like, well, there's no women's leagues. There's no women's team. Can one of the girls come play with the boys? And I was like, yeah, why not? Is that something you would still recommend to this day? If some young lady finds herself in that situation?
Yeah, for sure. I think, goalie is the only spot on the field, in lacrosse that, can translate to both the men's and women's game. I think otherwise, it's all kind of different in terms of like your equipment and kind of the, structure of the field and structure of the game. But I think goalie is the one that can really go back and forth pretty easily. Mm-hmm. Playing or having like men shoot on me was, obviously great for outside shots and stuff. And then, inside was more, finesse, and that's more like more your footwork and just keeping your hands high and stuff. And so when I went to college and played the zone, I wasn't really leaning on the fact that I've had, a lot of like men rip shots at me from outside the eight, I think that's where it would translate most for me, like going into the speed of the college game is where it kind of helped me a ton. But I went to a boarding school in New England and New Hampshire. And that's what we would do all day. When we were out of class, would just be like the guys and the girls would go shoot on the field. So it was always one of like, it was always, me in goal because I was a goalie in the women's team. So it definitely did help me going into college.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, the goalie position, especially now, like what the girls can do with the sticks, like before, men's with the deep pockets, like there was just shots that women couldn't do. And now, you're seeing low to high rips from the ladies as well. So it's like really becoming very similar from the goalie standpoint. So how would you describe like the way you play goalie? There's kind of a lot of different styles just in terms of, your arc and like, are you stepping at the 45? Are you stepping lateral? Are you playing a high arc, a low arc? How do your stance, how do you describe the way you play?
Yeah. I think it's definitely changed, throughout my, time of playing. And then the point where it's actually like, I was really honing in on my skills would probably be, like later of high school and then through college. And what I really found I had two great goalie coaches in college. I had Matt Palem and I also had Jason Gebhardt. Jason Gebhardt being really, mostly my one goalie coach, because I had Matt Palem for a year and then Geb for about 3.5. What I learned from both of them was that you can't overthink it. And like, by the time you get into college, you're not really making major adjustments to your game. At this point, you're kind of just honing in on little things that you need to, work on. So for me, my transition really was the fact that I went from playing man in high school to playing, full zone in college. And Syracuse is always known for their zone. And as a goalie, I struggled with the fact that a lot of the saves or shots that you're seeing are just wide open on the doorstep, because if you break the zone, that's where you're going to be shooting. So for me, I kind of struggled with, making sure my arc isn't getting too high and the fact that I'm completely, out of position, but still being able to approach a shooter from the doorstep. We also played a defense that was going back and forth between man and zone. So with that, I have to find a way to get my footing, good, so that when we're in man, they're taking shots on the eight, I'm actually not, you know, I have the arc too high and I'm kind of sitting back in my line a little bit more. And then we go back to zone, you know, I kind of shift it back and have a little bit more of an arc, you know, a higher arc, which was, you know, I think about it now and it was so normal for me to switch in and out of it, but it was kind of a process of getting there. But I was, you know, super lucky to have two great, you know, goalie coaches in college. And then Gab in the last couple of years that really just, you know, helped me understand that the saves that I'm making in the zone are kind of, you know, high quality ones I'm not supposed to be making. And then in the man, like the ability to actually make some save was great. But
yeah,
I didn't see a lot of change in some change in my game, but it was more just adjusting to the defenses we were playing.
Yeah. Love it. I had Matty Palem on the podcast. He's awesome. Did he try to get you to wear the football pants?
No, honestly, he might have tried to once or twice, but we did joke about it a ton. But he was awesome. He was super fun. He was he was doing both, you know, reffing and then volunteer coaching for me, and that was amazing. But he's a funny guy. He brought some good energy to the goalie squad at practice.
Love it. What were some other things that Geb taught you, or you know, how were your sessions with him?
Gab was, and I, you know, I leave Syracuse and I talk to, you know, the coaches now, like he's one of the, like probably the best thing to happen to me at Syracuse. And the fact that, you know, having a coach specific to goalies is just, you know, one of the best things, because they can actually really understand the mental part of it and, you know, and the growth and, you know, what's actually achievable as a save and stuff. But we did, you know, practices, when come like my senior and my fifth year got like really intense. And so looking forward to like who we'd have on schedule that week, him and I would watch the shooters and kind of see like, you know, what tendencies they have. And then when my team was doing like a drill that I didn't need to be in, him and I would be on the side doing like full tennis ball work or like steps and quick, you know, quick hands, stuff like that. With the bounce back. So we did a lot of intensive stuff in practice, which was, you know, super awesome. And he was the best, and he traveled with us every game. And I don't think he like ever missed once. And, you know, as a volunteer, it's, you know, pretty amazing. And then in turn, it was fun because I gave lessons to his daughter. So it was kind of, you know, all came full circle. So it was super cool. Mm-hmm. But he taught me a ton. But I think more than anything, it just taught me that you can't overthink it. Cause I know there's multiple times when I'd be like, oh, I really should have had that one. And, you know, sometimes just a good shot. And that's kind of what he would remind me of. It's like, you're not going to have every single one, but just the ones that you should have. But more than anything, it's taught me just to calm down and it kind of appreciate playing.
Yeah. And not overthink it is a very important lesson. Cause sometimes like what I see happen is like you put a kid in goal, right? And they've got this natural athleticism. And so they're like, they're here, say it in love. And then they start like learning all of this different stuff. And they actually go down because now like they're thinking about like all of this stuff and not relying on that athleticism. And then they eventually go back up as that becomes more natural, sure. Right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I think that's a very important point, is not to overthink things.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. What's your favorite part about being a lacrosse goalie, Asia?
You know, I actually just had some, I think I'm like my personality is pretty outgoing. So I think for me playing goalie was just a great opportunity for me to just kind of jump right into things and, you know, you have to be loud back there and you have to communicate. You have to have these, you know, solid, you know, foundations of relationships. And I think, you know, what we did so well at Syracuse and, you know, especially just to separate maybe the defense for a minute. We were, you know, a vet group in the last couple of years because we've been playing since we were young together. And kind of the best part was that we can get in each other and you know, and hold each other accountable in games and in practice for like doing something wrong or if you're not working as hard. And I think that for me, kind of like being able to be super outgoing, kind of form those relationships was probably the best part about, you know, being a goalie. And, you know, I was lucky enough. I played there for 5 years and I, you know, fully played for 5 years. And I think that those relationships that I made playing, you know, were amazing. And I think it's kind of a special bond just based off of, you know, just the intensity and just my ability to have relationships and communicate just in my position was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of my best friends still to this day, I mean, the best man of my wedding was on my lacrosse team. So, you know, it's like you, there's nothing like playing with the guys or with the girls, just those relationships and
for sure.
You miss it. You miss it. So take it, you know, I'm sure you miss it now as you're,
Oh yeah, I totally do.
On. Yeah.
I totally do. I talk about it every day with my friends. It's crazy.
Yeah. Awesome. What about, you know, when you think about some of the goalies, that you learned from, kind of looked up to, as you were learning or playing the sport, who comes to mind for you?
You know, definitely was, you know, a big fan of Liz Hogan just based off of, you know, her being at Syracuse. And I think, you know, I liked, really liked her game of, you know, I think that her clears are always spot on. And I found a big part of my game to be in the clearing game and, you know, the transition game. Mm-hmm. But I think in more of like a general sense, I wasn't like a, I guess, like, for lack of a better term, like a big lax rat when I was a kid. I just like watched a lot of film here and there. But I think I just kind of found my own style by watching men's goalies, just kind of period, whether it be like the men's on the high school team that I played at or such. I think that, you know, their game wasn't so like structured, like the way they attack a low ball is 9 out of 10 goalies are just going to fall down and get their body behind it. And mm-hmm. I think that the game was kind of taught a little bit different, I think initially to women's and men's goalies. And I think that the men's goalie, they really want to use their body to back it as well. And I think with women, we just had our stick there. So I think I was playing a little bit more like a guy going into mm-hmm. high school and in college, without actually like having a specific, you know, men's goalie that I was following. I really did think that there was a difference in, you know, how the play was kind of formatted for both of, you know, women's goalies and men's goalies. So I had fun watching the guys play, and I think it was a little bit more hectic, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. And so like, as you played at Syracuse, did you stick with that style? Like a lot of men's goalies, like you say, like, you know, there's a low shot. I mean, they're dropping to their knees, kind of ending up on their butt, like throwing their body at the ball. Is that kind of how you would make saves, low saves specifically?
Yeah, for sure. I think I made, Gary really stressed, like rebounds and making sure rebounds weren't really coming off, mm-hmm. Of any save. But I think I probably made more saves in my body in college than I actually did with the head of my stick. And I mean, every low shot was saved. If it was in my stick, my legs right behind it and I was dropped down, but, definitely made some more hectic saves in college than I should have. I definitely could have been a little bit more, like structured in my saving and techniques, but.
Yeah. It's interesting. So when you're coaching at USC, you're going to be like, do as I say, not as I do, or you can kind of let them go on their own.
You know, coaching actually is such a different thing. And since I was younger, and actually this is kind of granted to Jason Gebhardt which I kind of found is I've never seen two goalies that play the exact same. And I've seen goalie that like me is like totally crazy and like just more of an athletic sense. And then their goalie that is just all structure and like the foundational things you learn as a goalie, they're playing like that. But whenever every kid that I've coached, whether it be in camp, before when I was playing in college or anything like that. And now that I coach at USC and coach my goalies, I tell them is you get 4 years to play. And when you want to break a bad habit, it probably takes a year to do so, like a full year to actually get the habit done. And to actually teach you something and have you be confident in it, it's probably going to take you a year to feel fully confident in anything. So what I tell them is just the fact that you're going to play how you play. If you save the ball, that's great. But I'm going to give you a little bit of, you know, pointers into how to improve a couple of things in your game. But I think every goalie's game is different. So I'd have a hard time kind of fully changing any goalie, knowing that like my goalie coach let me kind of play how I like to, which was different than, you know, probably every goalie in women's D1 last year.
Yeah. Love it. When I look at your goalie game, and we just met, you know, 20 minutes ago, so I don't know you, but I see you play with a lot of swagger. Is that something like, am I right? Am I feel, cause I've seen you make a save and you're kind of like looking off and like, you know, I mean, you played a little bit of swagger. I like it. I like that confidence. And I'm curious, is that like a part of your game? Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, no, I think for sure. I think when I was a kid, I think I used lacrosse as like a big outlet for my life or anything going on. So I think I just found a lot of enjoyment in playing and it was super fun for me. It still is whenever I suit up, but when I got to college, Gary Gate was, you know, he's undoubtedly like one of the best coaches ever. And for me, I would never have been me if I never had him as a coach, just because he let me play my own style and kind of, appreciated that and appreciated me and who I am. And I think, you know, we just meshed so well together. But he really was big with all of us, like, play with swagger. And, you know, that was really fun just to, like, have him, like, tell us to play with swagger. And, you know, there was one practice where I was making a lot of saves, like, down on my legs. And he wants to push transition fastest in my freshman year. And it was almost like a split save. And he was making me practice out of this, like, pass it out of the split save so that we can push transition. But it's just, like, fun stuff like that. And that's what was so amazing about Syracuse and playing there is that he never tried to change us. And he loved the creativity in everyone's game, whether it was an attacker or, like, a goalie. You know, like, I don't think any other coach in the country would really be totally fun with their goalie throwing a BTB pass. But he loved that I practiced that and he practiced it with me. And we just had a ton of fun. And I think the swagger just came from, you know, him being my coach and just loving that, like, that creativity and loving the funness of the game. And, you know, that's what made Syracuse so great, but made me, you know, very comfortable in those senses.
That's awesome. Yeah. Whether it's a BTV pass, like, you know, a little reaction after a save, like a you know, a sweet dodge, juking a riding attackman. I love it. I love watching you play. I was going to ask, you know, you talk quite a bit about your game being a lot about outside the crease. How did you practice that?
Actually, so when I was in, when I was in high school, I was in like eighth grade. I always wanted to go to Syracuse since I was a kid. And the men's coach told me at my high school at Niskayuna that I needed to, he's like, work on your left hand and like be pretty comfortable in both your hands. Like maybe use like a men's stick and like hit the wall with it. So I was, still was terrible at my left hand. So I just was like, well, I'm very comfortable in my right hand because I've been hitting the wall at it with it every single day. This is like seventh grade, eighth grade. And then I'm like, well, if it's in my right hand, I need to throw across my body. I should just throw it behind the back to anyone over there, which was just like the most roundabout way to be able to pass across my body. So then I was just throwing behind the backs and against the wall every day. And that got very comfortable for me. And then when I went to boarding school, my sophomore year, I went there for rest of high school, went to the New Hampton school in New Hampshire. And I had a trainer, all the athletes had a trainer on, available for us, but he would do specific, you know, lacrosse training and more for me, like just to be comfortable outside the cage. It'd be every footwork, everything I would do, I'd have my stick in my hand. And I just got really comfortable, like doing sprints. Like when kids do sprints and for college, like run tests and stuff, I always tell them like, take your stick in your hand. And for me as a goalie, it was just nice to use a men's stick. And then for it to transfer over to goalie stick was like very easy. But it was really through all the footwork and all like outside of, practice and lacrosse, like, running and stuff that I always had my stick and that made me very comfortable with it.
Love it. So either develop your left hand or get used to throwing BTB dimes.
Yeah. Yeah. I could never say that to a kid, but yeah.
Those are your two options. I'm curious about the boarding school. So how does that, I didn't go to board. How does that work? Like you know, essentially are living, it's kind of like a little like college before college, like you're living.
Yeah, it was basically, I had a graduation, my graduating class was 60 kids and, the school was 300. We lived on campus. It was awesome. It was very like sports centric. Academics were great. And, I mean, I only say that because a lot of kids were committed for, you know, either lacrosse or hockey or basketball. And I actually had Tyler Lydon, who's a basketball player at Syracuse, went to New Hampton. So we were actually friends in high school and then went to college together. But it was awesome because I'm always with kids that are athletes. We're always working out together. And it was honestly like college before college. It was a good, you know, adjustment before we go. It was a good grace period for us, but.
Love it. Yeah. Awesome. And so for you, it was Syracuse or bust, or did you look at some other schools and take some other recruiting trips? How was your recruiting process?
So I committed, like early ninth grade to Syracuse, and I, didn't tour or really look at another school before that. It was kind of, I guess, Syracuse or bust, but, I mean, I love the new recruiting rules because I think that kids commit way too early. Yeah. And, you know, I think that I probably committed way too early, but I definitely wouldn't have went anywhere else. And obviously extremely happy with my decision to go there. But it was definitely Syracuse a bust, and it was super early. But I mean, it worked out great because I loved it.
Yeah, it seems like you had a great experience. I mean, 5 years, all-time saves leader, taking the team to the national championship, bunch of accolades. It seemed fun.
Yeah, it
was good. To say the least. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. So then, you know, you just started coaching with USC recently, and mm-hmm. are you going to be working specifically with the goalies?
Right now I'm working with the goalies and the defense, which has, you know, definitely been great. And it's fun. Coaching is a great transition out of college. You know, you feel like it's your whole life. So it's nice to still be in it right now and working, but with the goalies and the D, which is nice.
Yeah. Well, just being around the game. I mean, I played in the MCLA and like, I loved it. And just after college, I coached teams and I still coach goalies, but I just loved it. Just being around the game is just so much fun.
Yeah, it's nice. We were a little short staff goalie wise this year at USC. So we had two goalies, one freshman, one's a fifth year transfer in. So it's definitely a new experience for me, but I suited up a ton. So I think for me, that was fun just to be playing with the girls I'm coaching and join and jump in there with them. And I think, you know, my coaches always did that when I was in college, and it kind of brought a different, you know, perspective to the game. And it was a lot more fun when they were in there. So that's something that I've enjoyed doing, you know, this year thus far.
Oh, I love it. You're like, here, girls, I'll show you how it's done.
Yeah. So it's been fun. And I go watch my highlights after and like feel a little good about myself.
Like
it's been so long.
But, yeah. How about the, how about the Athletes Unlimited? Are you thinking about doing that or next time it comes around, or what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I mean, I got drafted last year. It was just a totally hectic year, and, you know, going to the national championship was, you know, the all time goal of that season. And mm-hmm. we made it there, and it was awesome. And then just finishing, I have this conversation with a lot of people because I think it's very important. And I think something that I struggled with initially in college was just the intensity of the sport when you play it in any college level. But at Syracuse and in Division I, it was just a lot of work and it started to feel like such a grind. But I kind of lost it thinking it was fun. So what I found was my best, you know, the way that I enjoyed the game the most was when it was fun. So over the summer, I would always just really put my stick down and I would do shooting maybe, you know, once a week, once every 2 weeks, get some shots on me. But otherwise I wasn't really looking at it. I was just kind of enjoying life. So then last year when AU started and I got drafted, I actually turned it down and I traveled the country for a couple months before I started work. Nice. Which is great, you know, and maybe I wouldn't have loved my job so much right now if I did play AU, just the sense that I hate when it feels like something I have to do, not something I love to do.
Yeah.
But my friends had so much fun doing it. I definitely had, I guess, some FOMO with it, but sure. We've talked about it now, and maybe in the upcoming season or something, I tried to get in there, but that's kind of my thoughts on summer play for me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's an important lesson for youth goalies as well. Like at a certain point, you know, if you're playing too much, you need a break, right? You need mm-hmm. a break. Like you're playing too much lacrosse and it starts to feel like a chore and you're not having fun. Then that's to me, it's like, hello, take a break, play another sport, go travel the world.
Exactly.
So love it. Love it. All right. Well, we'll look to see you out there next year.
Maybe.
I feel like now I understand what the league's all about. It took me a long time to like figure out like, what are we doing? Like, how does this work? You know, like with the draft picks and like, you know, anyway, I feel like I now understand it. So if you come back for the second season,
then you're good to go.
Yeah. I'm good to go. I wanted to ask you a question. I probably should have asked you before we hit record, if you don't want to answer these, but I can edit it out. I wanted to ask you a question about being a gay athlete. Is that?
Yeah, for sure.
I've had you look at like the best women lacrosse goalies, right?
Yeah.
Devin Wills, Liz Hogan, Gussie Johns, like they all gay athletes. So many, you know, it just seems like there's an improportionate amount of gay playing athletes goalie. who are great at goalie. Why is that?
Yeah, you know, actually it's so funny to say that because I was thinking about it the other day. And I think there's also a handful of ones still playing in college that are. And I don't know. I think maybe it's, I would say the only explanation I'd come up with is just the fact that I think a person that plays goalie is, you know, pretty outgoing and comfortable with themselves, and just the ability to have to learn to communicate like that such a young age, or a young age when you start playing the game, and play it well enough to bring you to college at these levels, or, you know, playing the pros, or play on the US team. I think that takes someone has to be comfortable with themselves. And I think, you know, being able to be out and comfortable with who you are, whether it be like, you know, in your sexuality, kind of in a weird way could show that you're, you know, in the position of goalie, you have to be super outgoing and comfortable with who you are and who you talk to and stuff. So I think in a way that can kind of explain it slightly, if that makes sense. But, you know, other than that, I can't come up with a solid answer, but that's something I think of.
Makes sense.
Just the personality of it, maybe.
The personality, yeah. And do you also think there's like, because when you're a goalie, like you get hit with balls, right? And and you got to be like tough. You got to shake that off, right? And,
I
don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this, but maybe no, there's something there.
I feel it there. You got to shake off anyone, you know, being comfortable about who you are. You know, right. I agree with that 100%.
Yeah. Interesting. Now, did you come out to the team? Did they know going in? Like, how was your story? Cause I think, you know, for a lot of youth goalies, especially, you know, ones who are gay, like hearing how you did it and hearing some of the challenges you went through really, really helps them.
For sure. You know, I actually like, and now I have friends that have come out to their team and, you know, whether they've had, you know, whether it'd be uncomfortable and, you know, kind of have to hear what they've gone through. I realized that I was, you know, very lucky and it was just an awesome experience for me to go to Syracuse and play there, and just like the inclusivity and, you know, acceptance for everyone, no matter whether it be about their sexuality or their beliefs or views and anything like that. I was on a team and a program, and it definitely fostered by my coach that, you know, it was just very, accepting. So when I was at Syracuse, I don't think I ever actually had to come out. I think it was just like a normal thing. And when I got to college my freshman year, like I think all other freshmen knew, but I actually was thinking about Syracuse is I've been going to camps there since I was, you know, in eighth grade of like middle school and then through high school. So everyone already knew me on the team, and then same with the rest of my class. So we all kind of already knew each other. So, you know, me having a girlfriend was, you know, never something that was, you know, blown up into something it didn't need to be, but it was, you know, just a great transition just for me to be who I am. And it was, they're totally accepting by it. And I had another teammate in my class who is also gay, and, you know, and she as well. I would not to speak for her, but I think that she had a great college experience just being super accepted. And, she's definitely like, I don't use my platform as much as I should to be, you know, very outwardly about it, 'cause I just think of it as a normal thing. So I never think of it to, I never, which is kind of ignorant to think about, to talk through like other people's experiences, because I feel like mine was so easy, especially at college and with my family as well. But Lila, one of my teammates, she's done a great job of it with her platform and sharing and through college she did, which was, you know, amazing. And she was a big role model for me as well.
Awesome. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure young goalies can learn from that as well, because it's not a big deal. It's not like love we want love, right? You know what I mean? And just kind of hearing you say that, like, listen, it wasn't a big deal for me. Like, because in a lot of people's heads, they're building it up. They're building it up.
Yeah,
and then they
feel
like they're hiding something. And it's like, wow, now it's, ooh, I'm really building it up. But hey, it's not a big deal.
No, not at all. And you're right. I never hit anything. I was just, you know, I think it's easy to be comfortable with who you are when you know yourself. So I found not to be a lot of pressure for me, which was nice.
Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that experience. Let's get back to the lacrosse.
Sure. No, you're good.
How do you train goalies? You know, if you're going to work with a youth goalie, 12 years old, just young girl, just getting going, how would you go about training that goalie?
Yeah, I think first off, I would start kind of basically talking through the goalie process and kind of talking about your footwork and your arc and how you hold the stick. And then I kind of just have them show me how they think they should hold it, and then I would just make slight adjustments to them. But I think more than anything, I found a big part of I understood the most when I see someone else do it. So like with my goalie coach in college, it was awesome to like have him show me what I'm doing wrong or what I need to fix, like whether it be with my stance or my angles. So with like a young kid like that, I would definitely go through and show them that and kind of the spacing. But I would definitely stick to tennis balls. And I think that I found great success in my game by using tennis balls, whether it be because of the speed of, you know, the way they come in or the fact that it's not going to hurt you when you're getting a million of them thrown at you. Was great, but you know, definitely those two things, and then just building muscle memory is huge. I think mm-hmm. I'm one of the goalies that is always tapping the pipes, and I don't even need to know what need to look down where I am, because that muscle memory of knowing where the pipe's hitting my stick, I kind of know my angle based on that. But just repetition with the kids and having fun in it, and I think that it's easy. I think you lose half of the wannabe goalies when they get hit the first time in a game. I think some kids just drop out. So it's kind of teaching that it's supposed to be fun and to enjoy the pressure and stuff, but definitely start with some arcs and some angles and using tennis balls, and then probably using a men's field stick. Cause I think that's, you know, probably the best way to go.
Using a men's field stick to play around mm-hmm. with?
To warm up. Yeah. I did that when I was younger. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love doing that. And great point about the tennis balls. I mean, you got to start these kids with tennis balls. I had this one coach on, and he wasn't a goalie, right? But he trained the goalies, and we were kind of reviewing some drills. And I'm like, I can tell you are not a goalie. There was this drill where like, it's a good drill. Like there's a bunch of balls like spread out essentially right in front of the crease. Right. And an attackman just comes up, scoops it and shoots one. So you're just working on like, you know, reacting on the inside. Yeah. They can't make any fakes. Right. So just working on those inside saves. Good drill. But these kids are just getting pelted with balls. So anytime there's like a drill like that, you got to use tennis balls.
Yeah.
And you got to start the kids off with tennis balls because you get rid of that fear factor.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I also was a big, like I would dip a lot when I was younger. And there's a lot to be said about a goalie coach with a lanyard, because I got the lanyard in college a lot, keeping my hands up. And I think that, you know, that's a great tool to teach young kids, because you can develop, you know, like bad habits so fast. So being able to break them quickly is also a huge, huge thing for coaching a young goalie.
Yeah, that's true. So the lanyard drill you're talking about, you connect it to your wrist and then connect
I had it to my hand. Yeah.
To your hand. Yeah.
Hand in my helmet. Uh-huh. And then there's another one. People connect the helmet to the stick, I think. And that's another mm-hmm. big one. Just keep your head up.
Yep.
But yeah.
And then it works two things. Like one, like you said, in your stance, you can't drop your hand because it's going to pull your head down. But then also like getting your head and body mm-hmm. behind the ball. Like you have to move the whole thing.
Yeah. not just your hands. It's a small thing that actually works so well. But
yeah. Yeah, it does. It does. What about other bad habits that you see or that you had to overcome as a goalie?
Yeah, I think mine was, it definitely could be guessing. It starts to turn into guessing. And I caught myself guessing a ton after my first year playing in college, because we were in a zone. So you don't have that much time to read shots anyway. So here I am just going down every time thinking they're going to be, you know, shooting low inside, and then it's going above my head. Mm-hmm. Nothing worse than what it looks like being a guessing goalie. So kind of breaking that, just finding patience of that. And then, you know, I think the hand dropping is definitely something that you see with a lot of goalies, and not like bringing their hands up as they come across the crease or turning from behind to front for a shot. But then I think patience on a clear is also huge, but just being able to be comfortable outside the net. And that's kind of where I took my game to the next level, was just finding, you know, the ability, like being able to be comfortable with someone on you. And I think that, you know, as a goalie, I don't think you can say you have good stick skills as a goalie until someone's like, you have an attacker pressuring you and you can handle yourself for, you know, that those couple seconds to get a clear off. I think that constitutes as good stick skills. So I think for that, I think, you know, the game is so fast now and it's always changing that you're not going to have so much time to, you know, be patient, look for a clear. So the more comfortable you are outside the net, the better you'll be.
Yeah. That's a great point. I was doing a session on clearing, and just, it amazed me how many questions these youth goalies had about what do I do? right? What do I do? Like, someone's on me. What do I do? Like, there's almost this sense of panic.
Yeah.
And, you know, to me, what you just said was my answer was, you know, you got to be comfortable with your stick. You got to have a couple dodges up your sleeve. So you know that, hey, if I need to leave the crease and just juke this attackman and buy myself some time, I can do that. That gives you this sense of confidence. And then you take that into your whole clearing game. So I love that you said that.
Yeah, for sure.
How did you break the habit of guessing? Is that, are there specific drills that you're doing to just pick up the ball cleaner out of the stick? Is it just like a mental thing?
Yeah. So I think goalie, the position can be the most, you know, mental position on the field, just based. And I say this to everyone, because I think if you're an attacker and you're having a bad day and you think you can't shoot, you have three other attackers that you can rely on, right? And, you know, same maybe with defense and midfield. But with a goalie, you can rely on your defense to give you, like, the best low angle shot possible. But if you feel like you're off, you don't really have anyone else to save that shot for you, you know? So for the guessing piece, I put a lot of time and energy to fixing my mental game. And I did. I was a huge visualizer and meditator in college and before games and before practices, and it was awesome for me. But I found success in using kind of like words for when I'm about to get a shot at me, and they kind of like centered me. So I think in the game you could be so hectic, there's so much going on around you, and I just had, I always say in my head, like, sit, stay. And then I would get my, like, I would always not jump or kind of go low. And I was being super patient, waiting for the shot to come off. Cause when you're not thinking, it's so natural for you to just react, either jump at the ball or kind of go low. Mm-hmm. But the reaction words in my head really actually helped me a lot.
Sit, stay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I like it. Awesome. I was going to ask, the meditation. Yeah. How does that work for you? And if I was a young goalie and I go, hey, I should try meditation, like, how would you recommend I get into it?
Yeah. So I actually started visualization before meditation, because I think it's easier to visualize than it is to meditate. And I think for me, they worked in two different ways. I think that the meditation kind of calmed me down so I can clear my head. And that was really for, you know, day before, any jitters like that before a game or before practice. I think that's something that I would do. But the visualization is, you know, definitely, for me, it was definitely easier because you have the opportunity to think and be thinking about multiple things. Mm-hmm. And I would think about, you know, let's say like last week in a game, I was, you know, doing a pretty bad job of saving anything on like my opposite hip. And so I just visualized me making that save a million times in my head. And by the time I was about to go play, I genuinely thought I made that save, because I've seen myself do it so many times because I was visualizing it. And I think that, you know, my team in college was very big about that, and kind of, you know, like visualizing, you know, yourself doing things and kind of speaking it to existence. But I found, you know, it to be really successful for me to see myself doing things in my head, and then I can just transfer it and just think that I've already done that before when I'm playing, which is pretty wild.
It is wild. The power of visualization is insane. It's like the human brain cannot differentiate between it really happening and you envisioning it happening. So if you are thinking and visualizing yourself making these perfect saves, like, in a way you are getting reps.
Yeah, for sure. And it's weirdly building your confidence too, because you think you're going to be making it, you know, which is, it's a hard thing to do, but it's awesome when you actually put the effort into doing it. It takes practice. Like, you would be practicing, you know, and anything in lacrosse, you train your brain as well.
Totally. I read this story of this soldier, this Vietnam vet, that was captured, like, prisoner of war, right? And they had just horrible conditions, right? And they put him in this little cell. And he's like, in order to, you know, like, survive here, he would visualize himself playing golf, like 18 holes of golf. Yeah. Right. And just, you know, everything, like the smell of the grass, like, what am I wearing? Yeah. Like, watch himself hit these great shots. Yeah. And then he gets out like 7 years later and, you know, body deteriorated, hasn't played golf in 7 years. And he goes and plays best round he's ever shot in his life. And that's just like, it's the power of visualization, right? Cause he's played it.
Yeah.
It's just nuts. So, okay. And then the meditation piece. So you start with the visualization, but you get into the meditation. And is that, is it just deep breaths, eyes closed? Like what, help me understand what you're doing there.
The meditation is, so I actually took a couple classes on it in college. So I took, I think, 3 meditation classes throughout my, you know, my 5 years. But they can range from 5 minutes where I'm doing some that are 30 minutes and they go by and that what feels like 3 seconds after you're really into it. But that's just the ability to clear your bed and to clear your head. And I found the most success when I was focusing on my breaths. But that takes a lot more practice and, you know, there's guided meditations, which are great for people that are, you know, first starting to meditate and trying to get into it. And then I was capable at the end of doing self-guided in my head and, you know, and being able to really focus on doing that for 25 plus minutes, which was awesome, but it's just, it could start small as possible.
Yeah. I've been doing it myself in the mornings and it's great. I mean, to me, it like helps you just really prepare for the day. Cause I don't play lacrosse anymore, but you know, life can get hard at sometimes. You just like, you know, if you're going to take a loss, like during the day, like, are you ready to handle that? Right. Yeah. Are you able to bounce back? I mean, that's one thing I talk about quite a bit with lacrosse goalies is like, we're going to take losses, you know, whether that's a game, whether that's an injury, whether that's just giving up a goal. And how do you respond to that loss? Right. Do you take then 7 losses in a row? Or do you shrug it off and be like, cool, took a loss. What am I learn? What can I learn from that and move on?
Yeah.
And that's to me what the meditation's about, but I'm still learning.
Yeah, no, for sure. I love it.
Yeah. Awesome. I want to talk a little bit about leadership. What's your style of leadership and how, like, were you captain of the team and like, how would you go about, you know, if you're just joining the team, like some tips for being a leader, a goalie leader.
Yeah. So I was captain, in 2020 and in 2021. I think as a goalie, it's just, you're inherently going to be a leader. I think that's something you take with the position. You know, and you find comfort in it as well, because, a defense is only as, I think really only as great, a team can only be as great as their goalie based on the communication on the defensive end. But I think for, you know, young kids going in and, you know, going, either it be your first, you know, first practice or your first day of college practice, I think you can find, you know, you're going to be inherently leading the team, and it just takes, you know, one thing that you say to, you know, help a defense. So I think just the ability to communicate is what's going to give you that leadership. But, you know, I think when you get scored on defensively, everyone starts to look at the goalie and it's kind of what they say first, you know? So I think, it's honestly just going to happen, but I mean, I loved it. I loved the pressure of a goalie, but being a leader with it was great.
Yeah. I love the pressure of it too. And you know, I think that with pressure comes like opportunity, right? Like a lot of goalies want the opportunity, but they don't want the pressure, and that's not the way it works, right? It's a package deal. So embrace it, because if it didn't matter, if there was no opportunity, then you would feel no pressure. You gotta embrace that. Talking a little bit about the communication, like what would you say to a young goalie who is struggling in that area? And that could mean like, hey, my team's not listening to me, or I feel like I'm being too mean when I yell, you know, commands. What would you say to these goalies to help them with the communication piece?
Yeah. Well, I think for goalies that have, you know, trouble communicating or just naturally quiet. I think that for goalies like that, you can say that you can have a different persona when it's up on the lacrosse field. And I think that a lot of, you know, quiet goalies, you know, find that to be successful for them is like, they're a different person when they're on the field. You know, now you're a goalie, you're stepping into this role, so enjoy it. And then when you come off the field, you don't have to be as, you know, crazy and hectic as you were there, but it could be fun to have a different personality when you're playing. And then I think, you know, for goalies that are also have a hard time speaking, I would also say, you know, saying anything is better than saying nothing. So you can be just calling where the ball is, right? And I think that takes up enough air too. And it's also contagious talking. So when you communicate like that, your defense will as well. And then for goalies that are, you know, kind of think maybe that their teammates aren't listening to them or understand what they're saying, I would always say, and what I found to be, you know, a huge part of the goalie game is in communication, the goalie game is your tone and how you communicate. So in what you're saying through your tone. So, and I think I'm trying to think of a specific example, but I think if you, how you tell someone to do something could either be taken as you yelling at them or are you telling them that for the betterment of the team, betterment for the defense.
Right.
So tone is mass. Tone is a huge piece of it. But for me, right. It was, you know, I understood that being a freshman playing with, you know, seniors in college, like you're going to be nervous on how you say something to maybe one of the seniors, but if you're playing with your freshman friends, you're going to, you know, feel different, you know? So I think just like the ability for everyone to know who you are and that like universally to be known. And then people would understand your tone through that as well.
Love it. Yeah, it does. It's like the tone comes from a place of I'm helping you, not like you're doing this wrong.
Yeah.
It's more like, let's get the team better. I've got a unique angle being a goalie. I can see things that no one else can see. So yeah, love it. Well, awesome. Asia, this was so much fun. I'm glad we could finally make this happen.
I know. Thank you so much. Sorry about all that.
Oh, no worries. No worries. If people want to get a hold of you, do you do the Instagram? How should they reach out?
Yeah, you can go through Instagram. It's at Asa Goldstock. And I'm not private or anything. So I'm open all in there. And I post some good lack stuff sometimes. But right now I'm just coaching in LA. So I post some good pictures of some palm trees on there every once in a while too.
There you go. Well, good luck in the upcoming season with USC. Yeah. We'll be watching. Good luck in your career as a goalie. It was tons of fun getting to know you and chat with you. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me. Nice to meet you.
So there you have it. Hope you enjoyed that episode with Asia Goldstock. Awesome stuff. I love the way she approaches the position. I love her swagger on the field. If you watch her play, there's always a couple saves that she makes where you can tell she's playing with a lot of swagger, a lot of confidence. And I hope you learned a thing or two listening to her chat about her lacrosse goalie journey. That'll do it this week. We'll be back next week with another episode. I've been recording some great ones, so I can't wait for you all to listen to them, but we'll be back next week. It is middle of January, college lacrosse right around the corner, and I can't think of another season where I've been this pumped up. I've got the 7 college goalies that I've signed. I can't wait to watch those guys. If you want to get training from them, you can head to laxgoalierat.com/college. College athletes mentoring and training your youth goalie. It's awesome. LaxGoalierat.com/college to check that out. In the meantime, get out there, get some work in, do well, and be well. I'm Coach Damon. Take care.
You've been listening to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast with your host, Coach Damon Wilson.